I'm Lynn Prowse-Bishop, and this is the Virtual Business Show. On the 28th of February this year, 2020, I'll have been in practice as a virtual assistant for 20 years. I began when my daughter was then about 6 or 7 months old. For a detailed account of how I got started, check out episode 34 in the archive. In this episode and the next, I want to share 20 things that I've learned while being in business, and hopefully they'll be of some help to you on your journey. Remember, being in business as a VA can sometimes be a slow burn. It generally doesn't happen overnight, but takes consistent work on your part to build your practice, your skills, your reputation, and client and referrer base. So let's dive into the first 10. Number one, becoming a VA is not a hobby. It's not a side hustle. It's not a way to make a bit of extra cash on the side while you still have a full-time job. You can and should try and keep some part-time or casual employment, at least while you're in the early stages of building your practice, but becoming a VA means eventually leaving employment and being your own boss. It is a business. That means you need to view it that way, have a business owner mindset, and be able to market yourself and your services. You'll need to understand what's required of business owners in your country and state, any licenses that you need, what sort of structure you'll have, tax implications for your individual circumstances, insurances, and all those sorts of things. Be sure to find a good small business tax accountant who can help guide you. If you don't want the responsibility of business ownership but want to work from home, consider maybe subcontracting instead. Number two, remember that not everyone can be a VA. Just because you can type doesn't mean you can run a successful transcription business, for example. Just because you know your way around WordPress doesn't mean you'll have a successful web design business. Just because you're a PA or secretary doesn't necessarily mean you can run a business. It takes a certain type of person with a certain set of skills to be successful. First and foremost is you must have a business owner mentality and not an employee mentality. Not everyone can do this, especially if you've never run a business or been the boss before. This doesn't mean you need to go out and get a business management degree or a certificate in business administration, but you are going to need some basic traits. An ability to self-motivate, manage your time effectively, and be focused for starters. As tempting as it might be to lounge around the house or get chores done or hang out with your friends, you need to remember you are a business and as such you need to act like you're going out to work, even though out might only be to the next room. Kathy Thomas, a veteran VA of close to 30 years, has written a great blog about this, and I'll include the link on the podcast page. I recommend if you're considering this business, have a read of this first. Number three, if you decide you are serious about setting up a VA practice and you fully understand what's involved and that this is not a hobby or a side hustle, then you must have the support of your partner or family. Without it, you will not succeed. Many partners tend to think being a VA is a hobby, so that's where your education starts, at home. Make sure family and friends understand you are a legitimate business owner and you need their help. This is especially important if you have children. As a business owner, you'll have less time to devote to your family duties, especially in the early stages, and you need buy-in from your partner if it's going to work. That means they'll need to help out more with domestic chores, childcare responsibilities, and that sort of thing. I've seen a lot of potentially good VAs fold in the first couple of years because partners didn't understand they were running a business, just like a bricks and mortar store, for example. Just because it's done from home, or in my case, a cupboard in the lounge room, and yes, I actually did get started working from a cupboard in the lounge room, doesn't make it any less a business. You'll also need buy-in because there may be a reduction in your income. Talk about what you'll do. You might go part-time at work so you can spend some time working on building your business, but still have some income coming in. If your partner is used to you having a full-time income, this will be a big change, so they need to be on board. Children will need to be aware that you may not be available every second of every day for them, so manage your time, and if they're older, speak to them about how you need a couple of hours to sort out this work, but you'll then be available to take them to the park or whatever it is that you might want to do with them. Number four. Have an I'm the boss mindset. A common misconception is that this means you can do what you want. When I say no to coffee dates during the day, kick out friends who drop in, or when I used to respond to questions about what we were doing over the school holidays with I'm working, many people say, but you're the boss. I think this misconception is also the reason many startup sole operators only last a couple of years in business. Being the boss does give you certain freedoms, but it also comes with certain responsibilities. As a sole operator, you're the one doing the work, so if you take time off to go for that coffee, you need to put that time back. If you don't do the work, you don't get paid. When my daughter was still at school and I took her to the movies during school holidays, I knew that meant I had to get the work done at some other time. After she left home, we had a tradition of travelling to the city together for shopping for one day during her holidays. I'd take that day and tell clients I'm out of the office, but I know I have to put that lost day back in, often on the weekend. Small business makes up 96% of Australian business, and 60% of these are non-employing businesses, so you can successfully run a sole operator business. But to succeed, you have to move beyond that first rush of excitement about the freedom that comes with being your own boss and realize that success comes down to you, the support of your friends and family, and an ability to manage your time and set some boundaries, both with your clients and your family and friends. Number 5, don't try to be all things to all people. You know the old saying, if you're a jack of all trades, you're a master of none. It's okay to be a generalist, but try to find your niche. This makes you one in a million instead of one of a million. Get known for specializing in something. Get really good at one or two things. That might be medical transcription, legal invoicing, bookkeeping, utilizing online programs, customer relationship management, online marketing and social media, graphic design, video editing, whatever you have a passion for. Being a generalist is fine, but if you start rambling off a list of everything you can do to a prospect, they lose interest pretty quickly. Number 6, and whilst a niche is good, be flexible. When you're starting out especially, all work is good work. The most important thing you can have is a satisfied client, even if that client is another VA. You're after testimonials. Testimonials are one of the best tools you can have for the success of your business, and I don't mean references from employers, and I have seen those on websites of VAs passed off as testimonials. Being an employee is not the same thing as being a business owner. Once you have happy clients, you get referrals, and in my business, about 98% of my new work comes from referrals. You may know your niche but struggle to find clients in it. So start doing other things in your skill set to build your experience and confidence. Subcontract, volunteer. I've seen a few VAs close up pretty soon after they start their practice because of inflexibility. This is what my practice does. This is the sort of work I want to do, and this is the only sort of work I do. And consequently, they refuse clients who ask them, can they offer something else, even though they have the skills for it. So be flexible, even if it means charging a bit less for the other type of work. All work is good work when you're starting out. Number 7, be selective in your advertising and find out from other business owners what's worked in your area. When you're getting started, it can be tempting to go all out with newspaper ads, mail outs, cold calling, flyers, yellow pages, print or online, but not all these tools work. You need to find out what works for your area and for your target market. Try a couple, keep track of where your leads are coming from, and stick with what works. Don't do it all because you'll overcapitalize very quickly, spending way more on advertising than you're making in fees. Number 8, if you're the sort of person who likes training, and training is good, especially ongoing professional development, make sure you research your trainer. There are so many trainers out there now promising you can make $10,000 in your first month or be a six-figure VA in your first year. It's hard to know who's legit and who's just worked out a great way to make money themselves. If your trainer has only been in business 1 to 3 years, they are not qualified to teach you how to be a successful VA. There are many reputable trainers out there, and I did a whole episode on training, which you can find in the archives at episode 36. Check it out because there is a lot of info there that you're going to want to know before you sign up with someone. I've even seen people pass themselves off as trainers who were literally just rehashing webinars that they had attended a few months before. Number 9, join networks, online and off, and engage in networking. Apart from the benefits of marketing your business and SEO enhancement of your site if the network offers links or a directory, belonging to a network of like-minded people gives you a sense of collegiality, opportunities for learning and peer support, not to mention leads. But don't rely on these networks exclusively for getting you work. You are responsible for marketing your business and attracting clients. That's part of being a business owner. And whatever you do, do not advertise your services to other VAs there until invited, even if you're a subcontractor. You join these groups to learn, have a sense of belonging, and to contribute. Job leads will come if you get known, and sometimes these groups will have email lists or days, with Facebook groups, for example, where you can keep an eye out for requests for help. But seriously, do not join these groups and then start with the posts. This is what I have been doing. I've just started my business. If you're looking for XYZ, then I'm your VA. Unless you are specifically setting up as a subcontractor, other VAs are rarely your target market. Once they know you, they may refer work to you, but don't go begging people for work who are likewise trying to market their services. When you attend in real life networking events, don't become a business card shark. You know, the person who circles the room throwing around their card like confetti and collecting all the cards they can with no real engagement. Aim to connect with maybe two or three people. Find out what you can about them. Be a good listener. Don't push your services to everyone in the room. Sometimes this works. Sometimes it can get you clients quickly. But in my experience, that's only if that person is there looking for just what you're offering. Often I'll follow up after the event if I find something topical in the news that I thought might be of interest to them after what I learned of them at the function and send it along with a note saying, saw this and thought of you, I recall you said you were interested in ABC. These sorts of personal touches make you stand out from the person who is clearly just fishing for work and not interested in connecting. Remember, being a VA is about connecting with your clients, being a partner in their business success. The next event you attend, you aim for the next two or three contacts and so on, and in this way, you build your list, a group of people that you've met and who know you, who you can begin to market to via your newsletter. Number 10, following on from the importance of networking, is use your tribe. Don't underestimate the importance of people who know you well already. Tell people, including your family, friends, old bosses and work colleagues, what it is you're doing now, the benefits of outsourcing to a professional VA, and then ask for referrals, especially from bosses. My very first client was the chairman of the board of my old workplace. He was a solopreneur executive director who worked from home without any admin support, so was my target market. As soon as I told him what I was doing, he signed up and referred me to two of his colleagues, who also signed up, based on his referral. That's how I became full-time within 18 months. If work is dropping off, ask existing clients to refer you to their colleagues. As we know, people like to work with those they know, like, and trust. While they're also more inclined to use someone a friend or colleague has referred than to sign up with someone cold calling them or whose flyer they saw in the paper and who they don't really know. Don't be afraid to ask for what you want. Sometimes you'll get knocked back, but every now and again, you hit a winner. Well, there's the first 10 things that I learnt after 20 years of being in business. In the next episode, I'll share the final 10 with you, so stay tuned for that. I'm Lynn Prowse-Bishop. Thanks so much for listening.